That's one of the reasons why I love the internet, and it's one of the reasons why I love Bitcoin. You don't need a fixed identity to use it. That's the beauty of it. True names not required. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I'm Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the show. This is Bitcoin Audible, and I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. We have got another great read today. This one is from Citadel21.com. If we haven't actually covered anything by them on the show before, and I've read, 10 or 15 of pieces from their volumes. Probably the reason I haven't done one yet is just because they're on the shorter side, and I like to kind of have like a beefy thing for the episode, but so many of them are good. I highly, highly encourage, if you've got a couple of minutes, to go over there and just read a couple of them. They're now on volume 4 of Citadel 21, and there's just so many good pieces. But the one that we are reading today, which now that I look at it, I don't know which volume this is in, but it's by Gigi, the author of 21 Lessons. I mean, everybody knows Gigi. He's really popular and really well known in the space. If you don't know 21 Lessons, you can get it on 21lessons.com, the website. Or, of course, I have read the audiobook, and you can get that on audible.com or just Amazon. It's absolutely fascinating. It's so many great little tidbits about the different aspects of Bitcoin and just how deep. It's like that first step into 21 different aspects of the Bitcoin rabbit hole, and it is not to be missed. It's definitely one of those must reads or must listens for diving into the concepts behind Bitcoin. But again, this is on Citadel21.com. We are reading Gigi's article on identity and pseudonymity in cyberspace, titled True Names Not Required. In 1981, at a time where the internet was in its infancy and I was just a gleam in my father's eye, the legendary mathematician, computer scientist, and science fiction author Werner Vinge published his prophetic novella, True Names. The story unfolds in two realms, the real world, meat space, and the other plane, cyberspace. Reading it today, many concepts dreamed up in the book seem neither strange nor far-fetched. For example, spending the better part of your waking hours in cyberspace, a place where most people know you by your pseudonym and not your true name, might have been science fiction in the 80s. Today, thanks to the internet and the abundance of virtual worlds it has spawned, it is a regular part of life. It is no accident that Bitcoin was created by a pseudonymous entity. The legend of Satoshi Nakamoto will always be a part of Bitcoin's story, which in turn means that the concepts explored in True Names, identity, privacy, anonymity, pseudonymity, will be a part of it as well. I was born in a small town in Austria, a town that shall remain nameless for the time being. We were living in a quiet and family-friendly neighborhood, in a quiet and family-friendly house, with a garden, two cats, and beautiful plum, pear, and cherry trees. The cats were named Mimi and Morley, keeping with the family tradition of grouping things by the first letter. Being cats, they didn't really care if you called them by their name. The only thing they would listen to was the sweet sound of whiskas cans being opened. Way before I learned that cats are somewhat agnostic to identity, I had to learn to make sense of this world. I had to get familiar with the very pegs we hang our ideas on. I had to learn how to speak. I don't know when I started babbling, but when I did, I repeatedly said one syllable over and over again. G. My sister both jokingly and lovingly repeated that all the time, and so it came to be that she gave me a nickname that stuck ever since. Gigi. It's funny how some things turn out. I'm pretty sure she didn't think much of it at the time. After all, she was only 5 years older than me. And she still is. I never managed to catch up. After a while, all the kids in the neighborhood started to refer to me as Gigi. Since this was at a time before I had a chance to think about identity in any way, it came to be that I never truly identified with my real name. In essence, Gigi became my real name. If you didn't call me that, I wouldn't react. Over the years, this became so ingrained that pretty much everyone who got to know me didn't use my legal name. Teachers, professors, my employers, coworkers, friends. Even today, it isn't uncommon that people who know me quite well don't know my legal name at all. On the internet, this is normal. You get to know people, their handles, their personalities, what they post, how they react. In short, what they are like, to some extent at least. This is even more pronounced in the gaming world, where intense interaction, voice communication, and a shared reality come into play. I've had quite a few friends over the years that I would consider real, true friends. Friends I've met online, thanks to the lovely world of online gaming. People I've talked to every day for several years. People whose life stories I know intimately, and they know mine. We've been through hardships and heartbreaks, talked until the sun rose again, got drunk, shared secrets. Most of these people I've met in MeetSpace at a later point in time. Some, however, I haven't met to this day. I will probably never meet them, now that my gaming days are mostly behind me. And that's fine. I grew up in a world where nicknames, handles, pseudonyms, and anonymity were the norm, and I wouldn't have it any other way. That's one of the reasons why I love the internet, and it's one of the reasons why I love Bitcoin. You don't need a fixed identity to use it. That's the beauty of it. True names not required. Unsurprisingly, the whole idea of anonymity and pseudonymity is under attack. People conspire in digital witch hunts to find out the true names of pseudonymous personalities. Trolls threaten to dox people to mess with their lives, and sadly, even journalists threaten to reveal the real identities of their subjects these days. To make matters worse, Google, Facebook, and Amazon want to make you believe that you have one true identity, that you can be measured, parameterized, surveilled, and predicted. They promise benevolent assistance thanks to algorithms that understand you better than you understand yourself, while cutting your identity into neatly packaged pieces and selling them to the highest bidder. Banks and governments do the same thing, by the way, but without the reassuring promises. What these companies don't realize is that identity is prismatic. Your persona depends on circumstances and context, both in MeetSpace and online. You will present yourself differently in a nightclub as opposed to a funeral, just like you will present yourself differently on Tinder as opposed to LinkedIn. At least I hope you do. Whom you talk to is important as well. You will say different things and in a different tone to your child, your lover, your pastor, your boss, the cute barista at your favorite coffee shop, or the coworker you can't stand to see. You are also not the same person you were 10 years ago. Your interest and political views have probably changed, as has the way you see the world and yourself. Thus, your identity is both fluid and prismatic. In the words of Walt Whitman, you contain multitudes. The cypherpunks recognized that a free society cannot function if identity is rigid and known to all. A free society requires the option to selectively reveal yourself to the world, or not reveal yourself at all. Quote, privacy is necessary for an open society in the electronic age. Privacy is not secrecy. A private matter is something one doesn't want the whole world to know, but a secret matter is something one doesn't want anybody to know. Privacy is the power to selectively reveal oneself to the world. Eric Hughes. The distinction between complete anonymity and pseudonymity is an important one. Anonymity does away with identity completely. Pseudonymity allows for temporary identities. You might be a space cat, a wizard, a Japanese programmer, a Shaolin, a samurai, a dragon lord, or a nocturnal octopus who does magic at midnight. Pseudonyms allow you to build up a character, a reputation, a self-image of your choosing. complete anonymity is crucial as well. It allows you to speak freely, unencumbered from reputational loss, disconnected from your identity, constructed or not. Quote, "Man is least himself when he talks in his own person. Give him a mask, and he will tell you the truth." Oscar Wilde. History has shown that in society in general, and in Bitcoin in particular, you don't necessarily need to use your legal name to be recognized or taken seriously. There is a reason why Eric Arthur Blair didn't choose to publish his books under his true name, but use a pseudonym, George Orwell. Alyssa Zinovievna Rosenbaum probably had her reasons too. She published her novels as Ayn Rand. Similarly, Satoshi Nakamoto had good reasons to stay pseudonymous and not use his true name. He chose to protect his identity so that he could eventually remove himself from the picture, leaving Bitcoin without a leader and a creator, a gift from the gods, if you will. Paradoxically, pseudonyms can be more powerful than true names. The best example of this is probably Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha. He transformed himself into an idea. The Buddha can't be killed, even if you kill the person currently known as the Buddha. The pseudonym transcends the individual. We are all Buddha, at least potentially, at least in part. Similarly, we are all Satoshi. Every single one of us who cares about Bitcoin, driving it forward, educating others, starting and running companies, pushing adoption, writing code, documentation, books and essays, making music, creating art. Everyone who uses Bitcoin how he or she sees fit. Everyone who runs a node. Everyone who chooses to exit the fiat system and hold some or all of their value in Bitcoin. We are all Satoshi because nobody is Satoshi. We are all doing our parts to fix the money and in turn, fix the world. There used to be a Satoshi, but now there is no Satoshi. He chose to keep his identity secret, and I hope we will never find out what his true name was. Not that it would matter. His gift to us is all that matters. Bitcoin was given to us, and now it simply is. It doesn't require an identifiable creator, because true names are not required. Just like names can transcend the individual and become something more powerful, a mask can become a symbol in itself. In such cases, the utility of the mask becomes secondary. The primary use is to show support for a cause, to rally behind an idea or an ideal. One of the most powerful scenes in the movie, V for Vendetta, is the March of the Masks, in which thousands of citizens march toward the Houses of Parliament, hiding their faces behind Guy Fawkes masks to support the idea put forward by the masked protagonist. Not too long ago, analogous to the scene depicted in the movie, an army of Bitcoiners decided to temporarily change their online identities in support of an individual and the idea that the individual embodies. I'm talking, of course, about our beloved and pseudonymous Space Cat. For a couple of weeks, we all wore a mask. For a couple of weeks, we were all Hodlonaut. We were all Hodlonaut because the thought that a pseudonymous pleb can be doxxed, attacked, snuffed out and silenced by rich and lying assholes was so outrageous, so preposterous, so disturbingly wrong that it was worth to stand up and put on a mask. We need to be able to dissociate from our identities to protect ourselves. We need the freedom to selectively reveal ourselves. We need the possibility to rally behind names, symbols, masks, and the ideas they represent, using transient identities and wearing masks ourselves if we have to. If identities are permanent and transparent, rebellion and revolution are impossible. The history of names and identities is a fascinating one. Before I fell down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, I had been working on passport and identity software, effectively writing software for the surveillance state. There are many things in my life that I'm not exactly proud of. Writing software to automatically process, identify, and classify people is one of them. Yes, the technology that powers facial recognition, fingerprint scanners, and pattern matching is fascinating. Yes, the fact that you can extract information from passports by simply tapping your phone on them is cool technology. The little chip symbol on your passport means that it has an NFC chip in it. But is it necessary? Is it even a good idea? As you can probably guess, I don't believe it is. Normalizing the idea of permanent identities will hasten the transformation of our surveillance states into full-blown dystopian panopticons. Normalizing the use of biometrics will make it even worse. While inconvenient, it is possible to change your name. Need to change your face or your fingerprints? Good luck with that. Remember, biometrics are usernames, not passwords. Back to identity. Keep in mind that passports were supposed to be a temporary measure. Of course, as is custom for all temporary fixes, passports are now a permanent part of our lives. How we use and see names has changed quite drastically over time as well. We now imagine that every person on the planet has a first name and a last name, and that these names will nicely fit the A to Z pattern of the systems that process them. However, some people don't have last names. Others have names that include or consist solely of numbers. And billions of people have names that don't fit into the Anglo-centric alphanumeric system at all. There are roughly 100 million people named a single symbol, pronounced Wang, for example. Historically, names and identities have always been intertwined. Many of the common surnames are derived from occupations. Carter, Cooper, Thatcher, Smith, Taylor, Fisher, Glover, Slater, Shoemaker, Weaver, Ward, Webster. All these and more are occupations turned family names. Your name was a description of what you do, not defining who you are in totality. Legal names, by the way, aren't necessarily less weird than nicknames can be. Grimes and Elon Musk decided to name their son XAeon A-12, to pick a recent example. The AI researcher and mathematician Ben Gertzell named his kid Kirksey, which is short for Quantum Organized Rational Expanding Intelligence. There is also this one dude who decided to change his legal name to Captain Fantastic Faster Than Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, Wolverine, The Hulk, and The Flash combined. Frank Zappa's daughters, Moon Unit and Diva Muffin, and many more, I'm sure. My point is this. Tying everything you do and every transaction you make to one singular identity is not only unnecessary, it is a recipe for disaster. It is a road that leads to the dystopian hellscape of social credit scores, the orgasmic dream of every dictator and totalitarian ruler that ever lived. Remember that it was never necessary in the first place. You go to the baker, say hi, hand him some money, he hands you a loaf of bread, and that's it. The money doesn't know who you are, neither does the bread. The baker doesn't have to know or care who you are. No names or identities are necessary. Contrast that to any online payment you have made in the last decade. You go to the online shop, which probably already knows everything about you, and if it doesn't, forces you to register. Every click and every keystroke is monitored and analyzed. Once you find what you're looking for, you pay with PayPal, a credit card, or similar payment processors that also know way too much about you. The transaction has to be approved by this third party, and will only be approved if your identity is known and you aren't offending the moralities of the companies and jurisdictions involved. Bitcoin does away with all that nonsense. It is a return to a saner world. It doesn't require an identity. It doesn't require approval. It doesn't care who you are. It doesn't force you to show your ID card, or your passport, or your face, or any other biometric identification. It doesn't even care if you are human or not. Want more fairness in this world? How about opting into a financial system that cannot discriminate? Don't be evil doesn't work. Can't be evil does. Bitcoin allows us to build towards a better future. A future where true names are not required. The current system is broken in many ways. We can do better. We must do better. One by one, people will discover the beauty of Bitcoin and join this peaceful revolution. They will be free to use their real names if they want to, but they don't need to do so. This is Bitcoin. You can stay anonymous. You can be pseudonymous. That is the beauty of it. True names not required. Gigi. All right. That will close out one of the many amazing pieces at Citadel21.com. Highly, highly recommended to do some digging on this website into the multiple volumes now of Citadel 21. So many great authors and pieces up on this website, and obviously really easy to get to, Citadel, C-I-T-A-D-E-L, 21.com. And you can find, dig into all of it. There's probably, I don't know, like 10 or so reads on every volume. And I really love the ideas in this piece, and I kind of wish I had the time to get into it, but I think I'm just gonna, he does such a good job. And one of the things about Gigi is he writes, and it's very storytelling type of writing. So, and I really love that. That's like some of the really great, like kind of nonfiction descriptive pieces are brilliant, and like people come up with great analogies and stuff in this space. But sometimes, like, I kind of long for that like story-like writing, which is really hard to find in this space. And there's a lot of that in Citadel 21. There's some really great pieces up here. So I highly encourage that. But we are going to go ahead and just close this one out. No sponsor for today's episode. Remember to be stacking sats at swanbitcoin.com, which Gigi is actually a part of, by the way. Gigi is recently a part of the Swan Bitcoin team, so throw out a congratulations to him for that. He actually reached out to them just because he wanted to be a part of the project. It's amazing how many awesome people are part of that now. They're one of the best services in the space, and I'm so happy that we have them. Don't forget to start stacking sats with your Swan Bitcoin savings plan. SwanBitcoin.com/guy will support this show. Thank you all so much for listening and going on this Bitcoin journey with me. And thank you to Gigi for this awesome piece, True Names Not Required. With that, let's just go ahead and close this one out, and I will catch you guys tomorrow with another great episode of Bitcoin Audible. Don't forget to follow, rate, subscribe, and feel free to shoot me some suggestions. I always love feedback, and I want to make this show better for everybody who's listening. And in absence of a sponsor, that's a great way to help support this show and keep it running. I am Guy Swan. We are all Satoshi. And until next time, take it easy, guys. This has been a 111 production, and you were listening to Bitcoin Audible on the Crypto Economy Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.